5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Good morning and welcome to Public Pulse. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Each year in the United States, about 240,000 cases of breast cancer are diagnosed in women and about 2,100 in men. About 42,000 women and 500 men in the U.S. die each year from breast cancer. October gives us an opportunity to remember those that we've lost, recognize those who continue to fight, and the ones who help them in the battle. It's also a great month to schedule a mammogram. Joining me this morning is Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation Director of Donor Relations, Ada Kervin, and Foundation Development Coordinator, Jasmine Slater. Good morning, ladies, and welcome back to the show.
Good morning. Thanks for having us.
Oh, happy Monday, right?
It's a Monday.
It's a beautiful Monday.
It's absolutely gorgeous out.
I'm not going to lie to you. I was a little worried that it was going to turn a little white on us over the weekend.
No, we don't do that. Not till after the link. It's a rule.
I'm hoping.
Yeah. We like the white dusting on the beautiful bitcoins.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yes.
That works.
Mm-hmm. Great viewscape there. But it can stay up there for as long as let's give it a month. But it is a coming. Now, how long have you, Jasmine, been with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation itself?
Yeah, so I have been at the hospital for 5 years, and I really started working with the foundation as soon as I started as the volunteer coordinator. And then we had like an official switch after a year. So I've really been working with the foundation for my full five years as the development coordinator, which it's kind of one of those things when people ask you, what do you do every day? And, you know, you tell them a title and it's kind of a little bit of everything, which is really great for me and what my passions are. So I get to work with our volunteers at the hospital, which is so rewarding and such a wonderful group of people with the foundation. You know, philanthropy and volunteering, they go hand in hand. So it's really great to be able to bridge those two. I do a lot of event planning and marketing with the foundation. So a lot of our efforts when it comes to a campaign, it comes to an event, it can come to a meeting, anything like that. And just being able to support the efforts of the foundation. And it's really at its core, just everything that we do at the hospital, we want to be able to support our people, the things that they do, and being able to share in that good news and be able to, you know, really be that conduit between the community and the foundation and share in that and be able to do that. And that does take some event planning. It does take some marketing. It does take some of that relationship building. So I like to, you know, work with our marketing team to be able to do that.
When it comes to people, it's like the jack of all trades. I'll handle it, right?
Yeah.
Like when it comes to working with the public and civilians, because you and I really started working together closely when Alan left. Mm-hmm. And so was that like a, well, I'll take on Sheridan Memorial Hospital's PR stuff as well. Or was that just kind of always there, but Alan filled that role?
Yeah, I think what, you know, really what it is the foundation works with all of our departments. And I think that we are just really able to highlight so many of the things that they do because we work so readily with them. And so I think it's just a really great relationship that we have with all of those departments and all of our service lines. You know, the Welch Cancer Center is a perfect example of that. You know, the Welch Cancer Center exists as its own service line, right? It is its own department and does all of these wonderful things that we want to highlight. But the work that the foundation does, the work that the link does, is another story in and of itself because we are able to work with them on things like the breast boutique and help support them with different organizations throughout the community. Mammograms, helping support screening and early detection. And those are just all these other little olive branches that break off of it. And so I think that a lot of it is just how we build those connections between the foundation and the hospital. And I think that's a lot of where it came from and just being able to build that. And I think there was just wanting to really highlight the work that the foundation is doing with the hospital and helping tell those stories. That's a lot of the work that we do. And really just highlighting that and being able to share in all of the work that we're doing together. And so I think that's really where we wanted to get back on Public Pulse and share in those stories. And, you know, our staff, not just our doctors, but our nurses and, you know, our administrative staff really wanting to tell those stories. And I think that this is a great platform to be able to do that. And after COVID, we had a really great relationship with you guys, talking on a regular basis and just wanting to rebuild that and find different ways to be able to leverage that. So I think we're in a great position to do that. And, you know, we have great additions to our teams every single day, from marketing to the foundation to, you know, new employee orientation. every 2 weeks we have, you know, anywhere from 10 to 20 new employees helping to build, you know, a growing hospital to support a growing community. And so I think that that's just really important in being able to continue sharing in that information with our community and with shared media and, you know, with everyone that we work with.
You know, Jesmyn, I'm glad COVID's kind of calmed down to the point where we don't have to report all the time, but I will say this, I do miss those once a week meetings, just kind of sitting back, because you get to know everybody after as long as it goes on, you know, start joking around together and having a good time. And so I do miss communicating with the hospital as frequently as we used to. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that was cut off for a good reason.
Yeah, we can set that up again. Because there's a lot to talk about.
Absolutely.
And I think you don't always appreciate or understand the connectivity of all of us up there throughout the organization. And we do all work really closely together. When Jesmyn said she's only been here 5 years, I thought, oh, that can't be. It's got to be 10. Or, I mean, it feels like she's been here forever doing such great work and connecting us in so many new and really important ways so people can get the best care.
Ada, how long have you been with the foundation?
Really, quite a number of years.
Yeah.
She says that so lightly.
Like Jesmyn talks about a new form of math that I do, but I've been at the hospital for 26 years.
Wow.
So a long time, and really have watched, you know, this change happen across these years and the different service lines that we've been able to help support and that this community has supported. And certainly this week for us and this month, and I have to say all year long, we're talking about the importance of cancer screening and early detection, because that means that people may have different treatment options, mm-hmm. and the success of that treatment and might be improved when it's found early.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah.
We're all about that this month, and we love the fact that the link has grown into something bigger than what we ever dreamed. But through the years that we've been holding this event, you think about the changes in technology and equipment and programs and all of the work that we do supports the people who need this important care right here close to home with their family and friends. And we certainly want to do everything we can to make sure that people are getting the services that they need.
Ada, one thing that I've noticed, you know, since I started working here only a few years ago, the advancements in technology up at the hospital mm-hmm. have really surprised me. And not just that, but, and Jesmyn, maybe you do this on purpose. I'm sure you probably do to an extent. Or if the hospital's just full of them, but I mean, consummate professionals coming in here, speaking about what they do on a day-to-day basis. Everybody's job is fascinating mm-hmm. up there. And being able to sit and have that conversation and just have them being, you know, very candid and open about what happens up there and why they do what they do. I have not spoken to anybody from the hospital who I didn't like by, you know, just sitting in these brief interactions that I have.
Really, the passion that healthcare workers have for their jobs and for the people they serve is remarkable.
Absolutely.
And, there are days when it's really difficult for them, and they work long hours, and they're still there. They're there for their patients, and that goes from nutritional services to our case management team to the CNAs and people who register. We're trying to do the best we can, but there's been a lot of growth, and we're figuring out new ways to make sure that people have the access they need to the care they need when they need it. And I love this past year we've been able to do some things with our radiology team and with mammography that I think have changed the diagnosis portion for our patients. And so we've been able to help with some purchasing of new equipment in the mammography center and for biopsies. And it's made a big difference for our patients. And I think our physicians are very excited about the way that technology ensures that they're going to be able to do the best diagnosis work with each person they work with.
Now tell me a little bit about the Welsh Cancer Center. You know, it's not something, you know, the C word, right? The one thing we're all kind of afraid of. It's like it's something that we're all susceptible to. So it's a lot like mortality. We don't want to say the word out loud, right? But this center, its sole purpose is to focus on the various types of cancer, the treatments, and the recovery from those treatments.
Right. From beginning, really, they're with a patient from beginning of their diagnosis, sometimes before the official diagnosis, through their treatment, and then overseeing their survivorship and how they're getting on with their life after they've been through that experience. But the Cancer Center, I would say the Welch Cancer Center is a huge part of this community, and this community helped to build that Cancer Center. We had close to 3,000 individual donors and businesses and foundations who helped us raise the money to build that center. And so people are vested, and when they need help, they know that they can call and get what they need.
I talk to a lot of students. I get the pleasure of working with a lot of our organizations that, you know, it can be elementary school, but junior high school, the college. And when I kind of talk about the Welch Cancer Center, it is this all encompassing thing. But one of the things I talk about is, you know, you think about like the day that you felt the sickest, you had the flu, you were staying at home, you felt awful. And then someone said, you need to go to school. And you're like, no, I can't do that. I can't handle it. You know, having a Welch Cancer Center, having a cancer center or a group of people that are here to care for you at home, it is so vital to so many people. And people forget, you know, if you had to go to 2 hours away, 6 hours away, just how much that stress that adds on to the experience, how much healing that can provide. And I know that there's situations that we can't avoid, right? There are things that we have to do that you might have to go to another organization.
A but larger one or something
like that. Absolutely. And there's no denying that. We are in a rural community, right? But we have a team that is going to help you through that all the same. If you have to go to somewhere 6 hours away, somewhere 3 hours away, you know, they're going to help you coordinate that care, and they're going to help you work through that. If that's the case, and make it as seamless a transition as possible, if it's not something that we can do at home. But, you know, on your worst day, do you really want to travel 4 hours round trip to do something like that? Probably not. Are you going to want to sleep in your own bed and come home to the own comforts of home? Absolutely. And that's just at the simplest level of patient care, that's something that provides. And sometimes just talking to students about that and helping them understand what that means for a patient is vital. I mean, the Welch Cancer Center provides, you know, chemotherapy and, you know, radiation, infusions, so many things to immunocompromised patients along with our cancer center patients. But, you know, we can have anywhere from 12 to 15,000 encounters, meaning people coming in and out. Now, that could be the same patient coming in once a week, coming in every day for 3 weeks. But that means that's how many times a patient is walking through that door, or someone is walking through that door. That's a lot of people that are coming in and out of there, that our community created an opportunity for someone to stay at home and have that care right here. And I think October is a great opportunity for us to highlight breast cancer awareness. But I think people are so aware of all the different colors of cancer and how there's something every single month that we can highlight. And that can be beautiful and overwhelming all at the same time. And so we've tried really hard to encompass all of that, cancer screening and prevention for all types of cancer, and comfort and care funds for all types of cancer and diagnoses, because that is so important, not, you know, to so many different people, and how they relate to cancer, as you said, and how it impacts so many people in so many different ways. And you know, cancer doesn't discriminate. And so how, you know, those people find those common bonds, and families and survivors. And, you know, it is just one of those things that people come together on so many different levels. And I think the Welch Cancer Center really is just one pivotal piece of what that looks like.
And I think that ongoing health care for everyone, it's like we have a certain responsibility to take care of ourselves. And there are screening, all different kinds of screening for, you know, not only for breast cancer, but lung cancer,
melanoma,
skin cancer, all kinds of different things. And so knowing that our hospital is there to help you access whatever you're needing, and through our events and through our really generous community, we've been able to help support a new area of the hospital, which is our financial advocates. And those are really trained individuals that can help a family and a patient navigate that journey and find, like, there is no reason why you shouldn't have cancer screening. Mm-hmm. It's really important, and it's really important to find it early. Mm-hmm. And if you're worried about that because you might not have money to pay for a screening exam, we have folks that at the hospital who are ready to help you talk about that and see what it is you need. Work with your primary care or internal medicine physician or whoever your contact is for your health care and see if we can get that set up for you.
Yeah.
And the state of Wyoming also has funds available. And so we just have a lot of different ways that we can help individuals access that care that they need.
But it can be overwhelming, right? Like all those different options is so overwhelming, but that is part of what having those people there is. That is their niche. That is what they understand. Just like a doctor has a specialty, just like a nurse has an area they work in, just like we, you know, have an area at a department that we work in. That's something that they can work with. They have day in and day out. They work with our state. They work with our city, different funds, different things that they can work on and figure out. To help get you the funding that helps you. And if, you know, that's what our funds are there to help you do. So if there's state funding available, fantastic. But what is all that paperwork? What are all those things you have to do? And that's overwhelming.
It's a long haul.
Yeah,
isn't it?
Absolutely. So helping to try to navigate that truly is a piece of it.
And when you don't have money to pay your bill, it's like, well, I think I'm just not going to get screened.
Yeah.
Or I don't need to go in and do my annual exam this year because I mean, I have other priorities and I've got my children and I've got my family to take care of. So you might make a decision that's not based on the right thing.
Unfortunately, it's part of the Wyoming way, right? I'm going to put myself on the back burner, take care of my family.
You know, and I think that is so true. And I think our statistics show that in Wyoming. It's like, why don't people have their screening? It's a phone call. You don't have to have an order to go have a mammogram. You can call and make your own appointment if you meet, you know, those general guidelines for the mammogram and get that done yourself. You don't. Yeah. You need to do it. Women need to do that, and men. Mm-hmm. If you have something that changes, you need to check it out and find out what it is and then get a plan together.
Yeah. And if it's in the family, that's something that you certainly have to look at. Mm-hmm. I lost my mom to a type of stomach cancer. Uh-huh. Now, she wasn't my blood mother, but I consider her to be my mom. Mm-hmm. Just a few years later, we lost my stepbrother to pretty much the same thing. Mm-hmm. You know, if that's in your family, take steps, go get screened. Because some types of cancer are hereditary. Yeah. The things you need to watch out for, just like high cholesterol, you know, which is something that I was told, well, that runs in the family. Well, I didn't know that. So now I got to keep an eye on that. Starting now, so pays
right.
off.
And then
later.
You can catch it early.
That's
because
right.
you see a change.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
If you're watching it from year to year.
And when it comes to breast cancer, whether you're a male or a female, you need to address that. Because, yes, men can get breast cancer.
Yes.
And there are many every year who pass away from it, probably not even realizing, you know, well, they got a lump. Well, it's breast cancer. Head on down there, get a mammogram, get x-rayed, get it figured out. And get it taken care of. Mm-hmm. On that, I got to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation. When we return, you're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
First Federal Bank and Trust would like to recognize this week's winner of $1,000 cash and a $1,000 marketing donation match from Sheridan Media. As part of their community commitment, St. Edmund's Church is receiving these funds for a random drawing.
We're giving $1,000 away every week to a qualified nonprofit organization. Next week, it could be your nonprofit. Visit our website, efirstfederal.bank, for details. First Federal Bank and Trust and Sheridan Media present Community Commitment, member FDIC.
Fall service events underway at Waring Sheridan Chevrolet. Chris Hayden.
Bob, beside the lot busting with new and used vehicles, our service department is here to keep your vehicle running smoothly. Whether it's an oil change, brake repair, or anything in between, our expert technicians have got you covered. Waring Chevrolet can also help you put new tires on your vehicle with a price match guarantee. Visit us today and experience the Waring Chevrolet difference. Don't wait. The fall service event is on with amazing deals and exceptional service.
Waring Chevrolet, 107 East Alger, online at waringsheridan.com.
Attention, food lovers. You may have noticed there's some road construction happening out in front of Frackleton's, but don't let that deter you from culinary perfection because there are 6 public parking lots within walking distance. Here's just one. The corner of Brundage and Scott is just 183 steps from Frackleton's. So just park your car in one of these nearby lots and you're only a short stroll away. Don't let a little road work stop you from savoring the best flavors in town. At Frackleton's Fine Food and Spirits.
Ready for lunch? Swing by Designing Dinner, Sagewood North Cafe. Whether you're eating in or getting takeout, you'll enjoy soups made from scratch daily, including seafood bisque every Friday. Original sandwiches like the tarragon chicken salad sandwich, or build your own. Finally, a full dessert menu with items you'll start to crave. Designing Dinner, Sagewood North Cafe. Open weekdays from 11 to 3 for lunch and 9 to 5 for grab and go pickup. Find them on Facebook.
Where can you watch entrepreneurs compete for a share of $100,000, eat and drink lots of deliciousness, and learn about the newest startups in Sheridan County? The Wyo Theater, that's where. Jessica Madden here from Impact 307 announcing that the Sheridan Startup Challenge Pitch Night will be showcased on Wednesday, November 1st at 5:30 p.m. There is no cost to attend and the premier event is open to the public. Please join us as we support local businesses, vote for your favorite startup idea for the Audience Choice Award, and stick around for the reception and winner announcements, all at the Wyo Theater November 1st.
Your phone is so smart. It knows where you are, what you like, where you live. And if you're a business that's using digital advertising, the equation is the same as other platforms. If your ad isn't compelling, can't be changed, and your target audience, well, isn't targeted, plus you're stuck in a contract, then you're throwing your money away. Let Sheridan Media help you with your digital advertising. We'll lock in your target audience, create eye-catching ads, and give you more flexibility with your campaign. Find out more by emailing sales@sheridanmedia.com. That's sales@sheridanmedia.com.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting. This morning I'm speaking with Sheridan Memorial Hospital Foundation Director of Donor Relations, Ada Kirvin, and Development Coordinator, Jasmine Slater. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Each year in the United States, this horrible disease affects approximately 240,000 women and about 2,100 men. The American Cancer Society recommends that women ages 40 to 44 should have the choice to start an annual breast cancer screening with mammograms if they wish to do so. Women aged 45 to 54 should get mammograms every year, and a woman 55 years of age or older can switch back to every 2 years or continue that yearly screening if they want. Those are only recommendations, folks. Jasmine, how does the Sheridan Memorial Hospital or the Welsh Cancer Center recognize Breast Cancer Awareness Month?
Yeah, a lot of the things that we do truly do filter through the link and the link partners in pink and how we're able to not only support the efforts, but it really is a lot about education and awareness. So a lot of the things that we do, early detection and prevention is probably the number one thing that we talk about because and I think this is really frustrating for a lot of people. I mean, even this, what you just talked about, 40 to 44 should be able to have the choice and 45 to 54 should go ahead and do it. You know, I think sometimes people get frustrated because there's not a direct answer, but yeah. We are not all the same. You know, what our makeup is, what our history is, what our genetics, you know, all of that, like it is so specific to each person, each individual. And so it is something that we do have to take control of our own healthcare and what is important to us and what is necessary for all of us. So I think a lot of the things that we do are education and helping people understand what are these things, what is important, along with all the things that we do as far as what is early detection, what kind of screenings are available, what are the comfort care funds, how can we support it, and also just what services are available. What should you be talking to your primary care provider about? What should you be doing when it comes to that? Along with just the recognition of, you know, survivors, along with those who support those caregivers, I think is another big one. Absolutely. When it comes to that. Yeah. Because that is not just, it can be a lot for a caregiver in any situation, you know, not just when it comes to cancer, but caregiving is something that is, it takes a lot, and a lot of people don't necessarily aren't prepared for that, or they don't know what they're getting themselves into, and nor should you, I guess, until you experience it. So a lot of that is just the education of that. Welsh Cancer Center provides so many wonderful resources for that. Our nurse navigator, Lori Karagiannis, is just such an incredible resource for that and specifies that journey for each one of our patients.
You know, go ahead, Ada. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just talking about Lori and her role over there and all of the team, really. But we've received some funding that has been so significant and helped us to expand these kind of ancillary services that go along with a patient that might be going through a cancer experience. And so having a resource room and having Lori there to guide people and what kinds of things they might need. Maybe they're having, they're struggling trying to get other appointments. If other health issues come up while you're in treatment, you really have to work on how you access all of that. And so Lori plays a big role in helping people continue through the process and stay as well as they can while they're going through it. And then the Wyoming Breast Cancer Initiative, which is a Wyoming group that started about probably 7 or 8 years ago, and we've received funding from them, which helped us to build this beautiful breast boutique. And it's free for all of our community. Anyone who's been through a cancer experience can come in and meet with Lori. And if they need prosthetics or bras or wigs and scarves and all these different kinds of things that might make their journey a little bit more comfortable, we're there to help them do that. And the funds that we raised through the link especially have helped us.
And that is huge, isn't it? Being able to live a day where you feel normal when everything around you isn't is so beneficial to a patient who has to go in and deal with this kind of stuff. You know, when your world gets turned upside down, it's vital that at least every once in a while you can forget about it. Mm-hmm. And it's just one thing that you brought up, caregivers, you know, because when your world is turned upside down, it's not just your world.
Right.
It's ours as a family.
Absolutely.
And being able to find support when I'm taking care of my family member, you know, I don't want them to see me tired. Mm-hmm. I don't want them to see me struggle, but I do need that release somewhere. Jasmine, is there like some place within the Welsh Cancer Center where these caregivers can go and just kind of be for a moment or dump their,
Lori is just, I mean, I can't sing enough praises about Lori and the resources that she provides for that. And even, you know, here in the community, she helps to provide an environment where people can have those conversations and be able to connect people in the right areas. But also there's so many state resources that provide that as well. And she can connect you to those as well. I think it's just everyone's on such a specific journey, right?
Yeah.
I mean, with cancer or even if someone, you know, if you get sick and someone has the flu and suddenly people have to stay home for a few days and everything's thrown off and now you can't drive this place or go this place, like caregiving in general is so specific. And I think our community also has a lot of just caregiving in general resources through the hub or through you know, a lot of other different resources that I think they're able to provide. And Lori is able to connect you to the right ones that are going to facilitate what is necessary for you. And I think that's a big piece of it as well. Case managers are going to be able to do that for a lot of our different patients throughout the organization, depending on what your situation is. And I think that's also, I think, a vital piece too.
And I think if Lori sees that a patient or a family is missing a piece or something's not going well for them, she can step in and help. And we've helped to provide some counseling for families and patients, and we've helped people travel, like Jasmine said. We had one patient that needed to get to Denver and really needed her husband with her through that journey, and so we were able to help them go together and do that through the funds that we've raised, you know. And those kinds of stories are just, they just touch your heart. And I think you realize, like Jasmine said too, it's every patient is different and every story is different and every family.
Yeah.
And they all need to be treated like individuals and like we're, you know, we're just so happy we're there to be able to help them.
And I think that's why the Comfort Care Fund has been such a beautiful fund to support over the past few years, because everyone's experience is so different. Some people are going to need gas cards to get back and forth. Some people need a ride in transit. Some people need, you know, a taxi ride from here or there. We have people who come from over the mountain who need to be able to come and get their treatment, and they're not going to come 2 days early because they can't stay in a hotel and afford that. And so the Comfort Care Fund really provides that, not just for the patient, but for the entire family. What are the things that they need to be successful in that experience? And so this is a fund that is specific to Welsh Cancer Center. We have other funds for the hospital and our case managers to have that through a gap fund, because you know, we've said it so many times, everyone's experience is so different. But we know there are hardships that people just don't expect. And I think that that's what's so vital, is being able to provide that. And whether that is the screening that they need to initially get in the door, or, you know, it's the support all throughout their journey and being able to do that. And I think that's what's so special about this fund, that the link supports, is being able to support everyone and meet them where they're at. And I think that's what the patient experience is. I think that's what medical excellence is from our entire organization, and them, and everyone feeling empowered to provide that to our patients. I think that at every level is what is really special about that.
And on that, Jasmine, how can somebody help? You know, maybe we've got a listener out there and they're like, what am I supposed to do about that? How can I help with this?
Yeah, we have a lot of different ways and a lot of different opportunities with volunteering and just giving us a call at the office. And if people are out there that want to walk in the race, so our link, we haven't talked about that yet.
Yeah, real quick, what do we got?
We got it coming on Saturday at 10 a.m. And we're going to meet at beautiful Whitney Commons Park, where we've been since we started this journey. And so it's going to be a beautiful day. And you can come and register that morning with us there. And we've got a lot of people that'll be there helping us with registration. We still need some people, I think, to help. So if someone's out there that wants to come in, I'll let Jasmine talk about that. Yeah. And I just have to say, when we started this so many years ago, it was really one particular story that came up in our community. There've been many since and before that, I'm sure. But I was able to work with Tempe Murphy, and she had a niece who had cancer. And so we just received a call from Tempe, and she said, we have to get digital mammography here in Sheridan because we're not hitting the mark on this. And I look at where we've come from that day, and the equipment and the services that we have now encompass so much more. And I think it all started with that tradition of taking care of each other and our rural community. That's what we do here. I'll let Jasmine talk about other options.
Yeah, there's so many volunteer opportunities. That's why this event is so special, is that anyone from our community of all ages can come and help, you know, during the event. We have people who help with crosswalking, who help with handing out snacks, who help with setup and cleanup, which is wonderful, who help with t-shirts and doing those things, people who want to walk. We also have a virtual option. We have a busy community. There's a lot of people who can't come out on that one specific day. So if you want to do the virtual option and support it, you absolutely can. All the information's on SheridanHospital.org. There's so many pink things on there for you to be able to click and look at. Our phone number's there for you to reach us at the hospital and the foundation. And we'd just love to talk to you about what is meaningful to you. I think that's the big thing, too. If it's wanting to donate, if it's wanting to contribute your time, if it's wanting to find something more long-term, if you have a story and there's something that you connect with, I think just finding that. And it's not just this one day. I mean, these efforts go on all throughout the year. We have partners, you know, Born in a Barn did their mimosas and contributed $13,000 this year from their event because of their why and what's impassionate, you know, to them. The Sheridan Hawks, they play that day, but they register all their players and they go and do a walk or run all together, and they auction off jerseys every year. You know, everyone finds a way. And then we have so many incredible businesses who sponsor this event. They walk, sometimes they go walk together on different days. Sometimes they just contribute because, you know, people are busy. And we're just so fortunate to have so many people who meet us where they're at and with how they're able to contribute and what their passion is. So I think that's just what's so great about this, is with this event and so many others, that we're able to do that. And we want to facilitate that to support the work that our hospital does and what's meaningful to people, because we want to have a growing hospital that supports a growing community in all aspects of healthcare.
Absolutely. I've run out of time. Ada, Jasmine, is there, you know, anything else more important than taking care of patients when they're at their lowest? And I would say absolutely not, you know, and Sheridan Memorial Hospital has always stepped up and done that. And I want to thank you for coming in this morning and sharing this story.
Thanks for having us, Floyd. Yeah. And thank you for all you do.
Oh, I don't do as much.